The scripture today comes from John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni Boni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Let's pray. God, I can only imagine what it must have been like for you to look at Mary. I can only imagine the excitement maybe that was inside of you to be able to let her know that you were not dead, that you had risen. Open our hearts up this morning, Father. Allow us to understand, to believe, to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask a question. I know this may sound ironic on Easter morning, but how do you know that the resurrection is real? How do you know that Jesus Christ actually rose from the grave and conquered death? How do you know? I want to share with you three reasons why I believe. The first is that it was told to me. I heard it. The second is that it has stood the test of time. And the third is that I've experienced it, and I've seen others experience the power of the resurrection. Now, I want us to talk about the first is that I believe it, or actually that I've heard it, not that I believe it. And I think that for some it may sound silly That you would believe in something that somebody told you. Right? I mean, we hear things all the time. And so to base something on hearing it, does that seem logical? But I would argue that we do that through our whole lives. Now we have Mr. Google to ask, right? You can ask Mr. Google anything and you'll get it. But something goes into Mr. Google. And it's people's stories and it's other things that happen. And so we listen to those, and for some reason we believe probably more than we should. Let me give you an example. It's this. How many of you believe that a man walked on the moon? Raise your hand. Yeah? Well, were you there to greet him on the moon? Was that you with the moon dust and everything? Like, I mean, some of us would say, right? How did you know? How was it that you believe that a man walked on the moon? Some of you in here would say, well, I saw it on TV, John. You know? And I'd be like, okay, I see a lot of things on TV. Are they real? I see movies all the time. Are they real? There's a group of people, or actually a decently large group of people, that still believe that a man that walked on the moon is a complete hoax. They think that Hollywood had something to do with it, and they orchestrated this whole thing. But you believe because people told you that you trusted. Your parents, your teachers. You believe because you saw it on TV. I believe for those same exact reasons. I didn't see it on TV, but I was told that it was there. But, you know, we look at something else for another example. Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. I remember that because it's a jingle that was drilled into me. It's the only date that I think I really remember in history. But I believe it because it was told to me. And that was even 500 years ago, plus. But I believe it because we're here. Well, we're not here in the United States, but we're here in Prague. But those of you that live in the United States appeared there because different things have happened. A result has happened because of that. We have so many things that we believe each and every day because people tell us. When we look at the historical proof of the resurrection of Jesus, we have so many accounts of people saying that Jesus is risen from the grave. So why would we not believe that? The second thing is that Jesus' resurrection has stood the test of time. There are a lot of things that have not stood the test of time. Exhibit A would be this next thing. Yeah. This is Billy Ray Cyrus. If you look on the backside there, he's got a nice mullet. It's okay, you can laugh, it's Easter. Hairstyles. If I was to put up your hairstyle from 30 years ago or from 15 years ago, has it stood the test of time? Probably not. Another thing up there. Yeah. Oh, it's so ironic that people are from Dallas here this morning. I didn't know that, by the way. I grew up in Arkansas, and so I grew up a Cowboys fan in the 90s. Boy, that was a good time, wasn't it, Dallas fans? Yeah. But look at Tony Romo. Just before, if they had just made the playoffs, bummer that he couldn't catch the ball and put it where it needed to be. But he fizzled out. The Dallas Cowboys have fizzled out. The Patriots will fizzle out. I don't know about Manchester United. They may or may not ever fizzle out. But, you know, some of these other football teams, you know, we'll see. Now, this last one that has, I think, fizzled out, but is still a little bit of fun, I want you to hit the next slide for me. And I don't know, it may be loud or it may not be at all. But just listen. Hi. You know it? Just let it go. It's only about 20 seconds. Enjoy it while you can. Remember? And I'm looking at some of the young people in here, and they have no clue what this is. See? But in all reality, that legendary song has fizzled, folks. Nope, let's go to the next slide. There you go. Just leave it there. The things that have stood the test of time, I would say, are good books. You know, there are writers like C.S. Lewis, and there's writers from 1,000 years ago that I can't remember the names of, but they have stood the test of time. Wisdom and advice, proverbs, ancient parables, things like that have stood the test of time because of their goodness. People who have changed the world have stood the test of time. We still remember them. Jesus, I believe, was one of those people. The most just really influential person, obviously, ever. The last is that the disciples experienced it. They experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I say this because of all the disciples, they all died spreading God's word. And I don't know about you guys, but there are like not a ton of things that I would die for. And I would certainly not die telling a myth. I would certainly not die telling a children's story or tale. Maybe a couple of crazy people might die looking for a death wish, but not all the disciples, not Christians through time. I heard recently that somebody thought the Bible was like some kind of a fairy tale. It was a nice story. But would people really die for a fairy tale? I don't think so. See, the disciples believed in the resurrection so passionately because they experienced it. They were resurrected people. They were people that were changed. They were people that had had the perspective changed on what life was about. They were a people with hope. There were people with a new passion of love that went beyond the normal borders. They were people with a new life and a new perspective. They were transformed by the resurrection, by the power of Jesus Christ. There's something that bothers me about Easter, and I just want to be really honest. We always make it such a big deal. I was telling Denise this. I was like, why is it that it has to be such a big deal? Isn't every day Easter? Isn't Easter more than looking nice in a Sunday dress or flowers or a hallelujah chorus even? Isn't Easter more than that? Shouldn't it be more to that in our lives? Easter is moving from death to life. Easter is moving from despair in whatever is going on at home or in your heart to hope. Easter is from the old ways to new ways. I wanted to say the Apostles' Creed this morning, not only because it's our creed and we need to be reminded of it, but Easter is the belief that when we die, not only is some spirit lifted up, but our bodies are resurrected just the same. It's in the creed, the last words of the creed. That is resurrection power, right? You can say yes, it's all right. Yeah. I want to finish with this story There was a young boy, this is a true story, there was a young boy about 12 years old, and he found out through the newspaper, through the front page of the newspaper, that his father had been killed in a car wreck. This had happened years and years ago, but this is what his experience was. This is how he found out as a 12-year-old child, if you could only imagine. But the interesting thing is that in his sorrow and in his grief, all he felt was numbness. And then at some point, whenever that numbness went away, the first thing that he felt was guilt. He remembered a few months before he had taken a baseball and had thrown it at his dad carelessly and just was having fun. He really didn't have any malicious intent, but threw the ball, broke his dad's thumb. It's all he could think about. And so when he was frustrated and didn't know what to do, he went to his pastor that was there, that I'm sure had been there before all this had arose. But as he sat and talked with his pastor, he said this, and I want to get it exact of what he said. He said, "I'll never forget how my pastor handled that. He was so great. He came around the desk with the tears in his eyes. He sat down across from me and said, 'Now, Jim,'" that was the boy's name, "'you listen to me. If your dad could come back to life for 5 minutes and be right here with us, and if he knew you were worried about that, about breaking the thumb, what would he say to you?' Jim said, 'He would tell me to quit worrying about that.' And the pastor said, 'All right, then you quit worrying about that. Do you understand me?' And the young boy said, 'Okay, I'll do it.'" The pastor was saying this, that, "Jim, you are forgiven. That you are, your acceptance, your forgiveness is accepted. That you can start new." That young boy is James W. Moore. He pastored, now he doesn't pastor this same church, but he pastored St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Houston, Texas, of over 9,000 people. Wrote over 40 books on Christian life. I'm not promising that that's going to happen to you. But what I say that is an example of how the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can transform your life to feeling so much guilt, so much hate, so much anger, so much whatever is going on inside, and it can flip it by accepting the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given you and given me. And y'all, it's hard. It's hard to even wrap our brains around what Jesus still did 2,000 years ago. But I've seen it. I've seen transformation take place in people's lives. I've seen transformation take place in addictions. I've seen it in broken relationships. I've seen it in my own life, how I've changed. Not that I'm very good, but I've changed, believe it or not, for those of you that know me. See, when Jesus rose from the dead and he came back to say, "You're forgiven." When Jesus came back and spoke with his disciples, Peter that had denied him 3 times, he was forgiven. When Thomas doubted and said, "I want to like see and touch and feel your hands and your side and all that stuff," Jesus said, "I know, it's okay. It's weird, I get it." That's probably what he said to him in some, you know, Greek way. The point is this, is that he comes today to tell you and to tell me that you are forgiven, that you can start a new life. Why do I believe in the resurrection? Because I've heard it in my ears from people that I trust. Because I've seen it stand the test of time when I've seen the Dallas Cowboys fizzle out and mullets go away. I know, I hate it for you guys. I'm a Packers fan now, on a side note. But I've also seen it, most importantly, because I have experienced it. And I want to say one last thing, is that it's not because I've experienced that, like, everything is okay and everything is great. Because I go up and down all the time in experiencing God's love. But don't be fearful that when you're in the downside, that God has left you or that God's not real. Hold on to the truths of what people have told you over the years. Reach out to brothers and sisters that have gone through the same thing. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.